Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by David Smith,
Yellow,
the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. Dave?
Yes, sir.
As you're well aware, Illinois lawmakers want to legalize recreational marijuana.
And unfortunately, in the March 20th election, 68% of Cook County voters also said, hey, this sounds like a good idea. But as you and I know, this is not a good idea, and voters don't realize what they're asking for.
Well, Dave, we have a guest who does know what Illinois is in store for if we go down to the path of legalization. Joe McGuire is the chairman of the board of the National Drug and Alcohol Screening Association. She was appointed to serve on the Colorado Governor's Marijuana Task Force. As a native of Colorado, Ms. McGuire has firsthand knowledge about the impact that 5 years of legal pot is having in her home state. Joe, it's not good, is it?
It is not good, and I so appreciate you all having me here with you today. You know, I am very well aware that when folks watch the mainstream media, the popular talking points are how well it's going in Colorado and that the sky hasn't fallen. And so, hey, you know, after 5 years, you should try it too. And I got to tell you, it's really unfair to hear that line when we have a lot of reports, we have significant reports of the negative consequences, of unintended consequences, of things that we do not yet have solutions for and that face your community. And frankly, I gotta tell you, Colorado voters feel duped. That they wanted one thing, they heard, let's control it, regulate it and tax it, and let's get some money injected into, help solve these budget crunches. And hey, what a way to go. And if I don't use it, what does it matter to me? It's not in my face. It doesn't bother me any. Well, that's just not what happens. What we see is marijuana is everywhere in Colorado.
And you mentioned unintended consequences.
Correct.
Give us a couple examples.
Well, just a couple of examples would be that it's not the weed that folks were used to back in the 60s and 70s. So at that time, we had very small concentrations of THC or tetrahydrocannabinol. That's the psychoactive component of marijuana that gets you high. So back in the day, 1-3% THC. Right? Well, when Colorado legalized, we were at 12-15%. And mind you that...
So twice the level that Cheech and Chong used.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So now we need to keep in mind that in countries like Amsterdam, THC over 15% is considered a hard drug and not legal.
Not legal.
In very liberal Amsterdam.
Right, in the majority of Europe. So what Colorado did was we said, hey, let's go for 100% THC.
Sure.
So this caused concern when the voters were voting and we brought it up, and the big marijuana, those who are in the industry, they said, look, you really can't get this stuff over 20%. Stop worrying. Well, what happened? Within 90 days, we had products like the edibles and like the cartridges that you drop in the e-cigarettes or the vape pens, like the concentrates, butane hash extractions.
And dabs,
wax, you know, all of these products nobody's ever heard of before.
Right. And these are all marijuana byproducts or concentrates is
what
we call them,
right? Concentrates, yep. And so now we have THC 60, 70, 80, 90%.
Oh, my.
Holy smoke.
And we've never seen anything like this. So what happens is the responses that people have to this drug are so different than anyone ever expected. It's not just some stoners who get the munchies and fall asleep. We have violent outbursts. We have hallucinations. We have people who are having psychotic breaks. We have increased episodes of schizophrenia and bipolar diagnoses. I mean, this is a system that is not controlled. It's out of control. And so that, I would say, would be like the very first thing.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So then what do you have? You have these extremely high potent products, and you have these very attractive edibles. You have gummy candies and cookies and brownies and cotton
sodas.
Candy.
And one of your slides in your presentation?
Yes.
A soda.
And fruit sodas. You know, like Orange Crush and you know, and that
type of
thing.
But one of the things I got to stop you on is, so there's in one 12-ounce bottle of the soda that you showed, how many portions, recommended, doses are in this marijuana drink?
Some have 4 servings per bottle and some have 7 servings per bottle.
Right. So, I mean, that's kind of crazy. How many people do you know, especially young people, who are going to just take a quarter of a drink, a quarter of the bottle of 12 ounces? So what is that, 3 ounces?
Right.
I mean, that's...
And then say, I've had enough. Do you know young people who can cut a cookie into 6 pieces and say, I'll only have
a gummy bear. A gummy bear in 4.
Four servings, right?
But surely they're not targeting kids.
Right. With, we saw the days when Big Tobacco was brought to task for using Joe Camel candy cigarettes to target children. And marijuana is following the same playbook. In fact, we would say Big Marijuana and Big Tobacco are brother and sister. We're using the same playbook to say, hey, remember when we heard more doctors prefer Camels?
That's right. That's right.
And now we look at that and say, that's preposterous. How did anybody fall for that? Well, now we hear marijuana cures all kinds of diseases with no medical proof.
And it's no big deal. It'll help you unwind and just give you relaxation. But Joe, how many, we probably don't know this answer, but how many states 10 years ago, 20 years ago, sued Big Tobacco and won multiple millions of dollars to recoup what?
Right.
Their health care costs. Yes. Because it was such a drain on all their systems. Of course, our politicians wasted all that money.
Right.
But now we're going to go down the same road again with marijuana. We're going to salute marijuana, say, okay, this is good. But do you think in the future there's going to be some lawsuits on the
costs? Absolutely, Dave. And here's a great point. When you consider the fact that the harms associated with tobacco are tobacco-related illness and death.
Sure. My dad died of emphysema.
There
absolutely.
Well, people will say marijuana is safe because you can't overdose on it. Have you ever heard of anyone overdosing on a tobacco cigarette?
My dad didn't, but yet he died from tobacco.
There you go. So when we look at marijuana and we have marijuana-related accidents, deaths, and illnesses, we're just pretending like we don't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do predict that in the long run, we will be sitting and listening to congressional hearings that Big Marijuana made false claims about the medical efficacy, that they made products that were intentionally attractive to children, that they advertised to children, and that they lied about the known consequences to health and wellness.
So we're about 50 years away from that, because right now the culture considers this pretty hip, cool. Being against it is politically incorrect, right?
Exactly.
And countercultural.
Exactly. I mean, that's why I called my business 5 Minutes of Courage, because I believe I have to take a stand in situations where people are in my face.
That's right.
Screaming that this is God's gift to us, this natural herb. And, opiates come from the poppy, the opium, and that's natural too. Arsenic is natural. Hey, and let's, speaking of tobacco.
Mold is natural, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, speaking of tobacco, it also grows out of the ground.
That's right.
So, we're getting suckered and we're not stopping and thinking this through clearly.
No, we're certainly not. And before we get too far, though, I want to talk about, you said they're marketing to kids. What's the effect on the youth of use of marijuana, especially the high potency. As you're saying, it's no longer 2 to 3% THC. It's now up to 30. What's the norm in Colorado, and what do you think most kids are ingesting, and what is it doing to them? What's the consequences to the young people?
Well, that's a multifaceted question. So what are the norms for potency? Listen, it's all over the map. But what I can tell you is if you can find pot in Colorado under 30%, good luck to you.
You got the weak stuff.
Right. So we have the most potent cannabis products in the world coming out of Colorado. So you have a small child, like a toddler, who gets a hold of a gummy candy or a cookie. Those children are ending up in the emergency room. Many times they have to be intubated because they stop breathing on their own.
That's serious.
So you say no deaths related to marijuana, but let me tell you, if it wasn't for 911 emergency responders, you know,
in our medical technology,
absolutely,
yes.
You know, I fear the day when we're telling that story. So, those are the smaller children, and we've had children 5 days in the hospital unconscious. And when you ask the marijuana industry, hey, you know, what do you have to say about this, and what responsibility are you taking for this? They'll say, well, those kids are fine now.
Are they, though?
Right. Well, I always say, my response is, what would I have to do to a child to cause them to end up hospitalized for 5 days that social services wouldn't be after me?
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Right? Slap the cuffs on, Mom.
Yep.
Okay, so we have that issue. Then we move up to adolescent and pre-adolescence. By the way, it is not uncommon for us to find third, fourth, fifth graders eating these products, even trading these products on the playground. When you get into the adolescent developing brain, this is where we have a real heartbreaking issue, in that when you feed cannabis to the developing brain, our brain is full of cannabinoid receptors. And so those CBD receptors are firing and developing and creating our decision making and you know, our emotional responses and all of these things. When you feed the brain cannabis, it says, hey, I don't need to keep firing and growing and developing because I'm full.
Right.
I've got enough.
Oh, boy.
And so it stops. And we have brain scan after brain scan that shows shrinkage to the corpus callosum of the brain and IQ loss. And by the way, in decades of study in New Zealand, we've seen in generational studies that brain change is actually damage to the brain, and it does not repair itself over a lifetime of abstinence.
So we can honestly say, and it's not hyperbolic to say, that marijuana causes brain damage in young people.
That is correct.
And then we want to qualify, what is a young person? Now, is it a 17-year-old, or are we talking all the way up to 25 or older?
Specialists say that the brain stops its development phase somewhere between the ages of 27 and 30.
Wow.
So you're looking at, you know, you get them through high school, you get them through college, you have young adults in the workforce. That's what we're talking about here.
That's right.
So, you know, I think that most people don't know this. They don't hear it. And by the way, when you have a potential IQ loss in a young person of up to 8 points, that drops them down 10 percentiles in the IQ space, which means you have someone who had the potential to be an engineer.
That's right.
And now they maybe serve tables in a restaurant.
Yeah.
You are literally taking away their ability to support themselves, to be financially stable. More of them become dependent on the welfare system. This has been proven in New Zealand. We have the actual data that says they're more welfare dependent, they're less likely to complete higher education.
So I want to translate that for our libertarian friends who say, oh, come on, let people be people, let them have freedom. Okay, so do you want the nanny state to grow in Illinois? And this is the flip side of that. So we need to take a break, and we'll come right back. But I think folks really need to consider this, you know, brain damage. You know, it shrinks the white space. It kills IQ points. And that's not something that's recoverable, right?
Right.
So people need to think about this. We'll come back with a lot more right after this.
Some are saying that Christians have lost the culture, but what if it was never a war to win? Instead, it was a calling to embrace. Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
If there's an overarching thing for Breakpoint, starting with Chuck Colson, now with Eric and me, it's culture, specifically how Christians can understand it, engage it, confront it, even restore it through the clarity of a Christian worldview. As Brett Kunkel and I explain in our book, A Practical Guide to Culture, what we mean by culture is not some mysterious thing cloistered in art museums. No, culture's the sum of everything we as human beings create, write, say, do, and think, the marks that we leave on our world. So in that sense, engaging the culture isn't really optional. It's human. It's as much a part of being alive as breathing is. We don't decide whether we'll engage the culture, just how. Now, I say this because lately a few people have suggested that Christian efforts in the culture have failed. One gentleman recently wrote me saying that worldview-style training, like the kind we do in our Colson Fellows program or at Summit Ministries or other places like that, just hasn't worked. We're losing the next generation, he said, and mainstream culture is as dark as ever. But I want to push back against this idea, at least on a couple fronts. First, it's just not true. You can't convince me that the work of people like Francis Schaeffer, Chuck Colson, David Noble, or the work of groups like Summit Ministries or the Colson Center, teaching Christians how to approach culture from a Christian worldview, hasn't made a difference. I've seen young faces light up when they get this Christianity thing for the first time, realizing it's true and that faith relates to culture. I've seen too many to believe that it hasn't made an impact. Heck, I was one of those faces in 1994, thanks to Bill Brown and Gary Phillips. And stats back me up on this. Far from the doom and gloom we often hear in the media and from Christian sources, the church isn't collapsing in America. In fact, evangelicals have one of the highest retention rates of their young people of any Christian group. And to say that worldview hasn't worked is to ignore the incredible inroads made in the academy in our lifetime. Consider the entire discipline of philosophy flipped on its head in the late 20th century by people like Alvin Plantinga. Consider the amazing progress in law, not only now, but the seeding of jurisprudence with Christian truth by the folks at the Alliance Defending Freedom. Consider the gains of the pro-life movement. Now, all of these were either directly or at least indirectly inspired by Christians taught to engage culture armed with Christian worldview thinking. What this thinking has done through ministries like Colson Center and programs like Breakpoint is to offer an antidote to the toxic assumption that Christianity is just something you do on Sunday in the pews, that Christianity is personal and private. No way. Christianity's personal, but it's not private. Every square inch of human existence belongs to Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm under no illusion that things are going great in the culture. No, Christians are facing incredible challenges around the world. And in Western culture, it's all but lost any sort of privileged position it once had. But here's the kicker. At the Colson Center, we don't teach worldview or champion the idea that Christians should engage culture because it works. It's not a strategy, folks. We do it because we're redeemed human beings and because redemption is in line with, not opposed to, our created purpose. Christians shouldn't make art or write literature, compose music, build businesses, or any of these things to win a kind of war against secularism. We do these things because they're part of what it means to be truly human. And that's what Jesus saved us to be, fully human worshipers of God with all of our lives. So yes, the worldview movement and its emphasis on culture has made a difference. I know the beneficiaries by name, but we don't teach worldview or engage culture for strategic purposes. We do it because Christianity isn't Christianity without it. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Thanks once again for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here, joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. And we are joined by Joe McGuire, who is the Chairman of the Board of the National Drug and Alcohol Screening Association. She's a Colorado native, and she knows firsthand about the damage legalized marijuana is having in her home state.
Yep.
And she has some warnings for Illinois.
Yes, she does.
Joe, who is Big Marijuana, and why are Illinois lawmakers listening to them?
Good question. Big Marijuana is comprised of what I call the Big Three. NORML, the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws. They've been around since the 60s or 70s. The Drug Policy Alliance and the Marijuana Policy Project. And they are starting to spider off with some organizations that they've created to handle different parts of their agenda. But the goal has been national legal marijuana since the 60s and 70s. And in fact, they were almost successful early on in the 70s at the federal level. And we're very close to legalizing marijuana federally when, as they tell it, a group of angry, hysterical mothers got upset because their kids were addicted to drugs and put a stop to it. They marched on Washington and they said, "You're not going to do it." And they had some star power behind them. Some of those moms were Carol Burnett and Nancy Reagan.
Oh, my goodness, that's right.
And so they put a stop to this and they said, "Those mothers set us back decades in the plan." So now I want you to understand also that they have formed fully funded corporations that are Wall Street traded groups, and they get mega dollars from George Soros.
I was going to ask you. So George Soros, many of our listeners will know who this guy is. He's a communist from Hungary who is funding a lot of different cultural Marxist pushes here in the United States.
Correct.
But he's very much for the decriminalization of all drugs.
All drugs. You have to understand, marijuana is just the first domino.
No, and you're seeing that already in Colorado. What's
Absolutely.
The next push in Colorado
Denver
after marijuana?
Denver is trying to legalize magic mushrooms.
Magic mushrooms.
Psychedelics. And, you know, they want heroin legalized. They want methamphetamine legalized. That is the goal. And I often get asked, look, what's the point of that? Who knows what the point of George Soros' actions are except for that he has a hobby of toppling governments.
Can I give you my theory?
Sure.
Okay, my theory is these oligarchs, right? They're the elite ruling class, want a dumbed down, subservient society.
You bet.
That's what it is. I mean, if you get people dumbed down and numb to what's going out
we
around them,
we won't fight back.
That's it. Yes. Well said.
Well, and we'll be raising a generation of kids who will not be able to defend our country.
Incapable.
Well, not just defend our country, but are not politically engaged at all, or are buying the lies of the, you know, their drug dealers.
Right, exactly.
They're medicators.
Yes. So one of the things that I want to share with you is that we've been talking about the permanent brain damage that we see for kids and young people.
Thank you.
We are also seeing an increase in mental illness diagnoses, in addiction. We've seen a 600% increase in addiction, bipolar, schizophrenia, suicidal, depressive behavior. Kids think that marijuana solves these ills, and you'll hear them say, "Well, I take it,
it mellows
because
you
I'm
out.
Depressed.
And it mellows you out."
Right.
But the higher THC levels don't necessarily do that, right?
Exactly.
So what do you
see? So it actually cyclically has long-term causes more damage. Even with PTSD, there are several studies that show that in military conscripts, it could be temporarily alleviating for PTSD, but in the long term, it exacerbates it and makes it worse.
You know, when you said that, my heart just sank. I mean, you want to be compassionate to especially our veterans who are coming home dealing with this post-traumatic stress disorder.
Absolutely.
And when you said it exasperates it long term, what are we doing to these guys and gals?
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. We are not helping them, and we are contributing to more long-term hardship. So, you know, do we have the capacity to handle more addiction, more mental health ills? You know, it's terrible.
Well, and in the wake of the school shootings that we've seen, tragedies, one of the things that I think is really missing from the center of the debate is the mental health aspect
you
of it all.
You bet it is.
And this is going to exasperate that as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
School shootings and violent outbursts and rages.
You've
seen, what is it called, marijuana with rage?
Yes, and this other issue, it's compounded by losing touch with reality. You know, so absolutely we will continue to see these things. That, you know, people need only look up the history of marijuana when it was used centuries ago to amp up armies. They would amp themselves up by using cannabis, usually eating it. No, and it's historical. It's right there on Wikipedia. You know, you could find it in research. And so, hashish was one of those things that was used to get soldiers really amped up so they could go into battle and have no fear. And
now, of the things that you said in your presentation yesterday, we were in Bloomington. We had a great presentation there. And you said that there are two different types, at least two, maybe there's more, of marijuana, one that does mellow you out and one that does amp you up.
Right. So there are two major strains of marijuana. Indica calms you down, chills you out, get the munchies, you fall asleep. then you have sativa. Sativas amp you up.
Why not just legalize that?
Well, that's a good question. But the point of legalization is the strongest stuff you can get, the more you can get it everywhere. There's no limit. And that's one of the problems. We're thinking control and regulate, but that's not what is controlled and regulated. What's controlled and regulated is who can sell it, okay? So you have to be a registered location, and you have to have all these, things in place if you want to be a retail store. Outside of that, anything goes.
Okay? So tell me more about this indica.
So you have indica calms you down. Sativa amps you up. There's a greater risk of heart attack after using it. This is the major strain where people who have underlying mental health conditions really are getting a hold of these intense potencies and having the psychotic breaks.
So let me ask you then, okay, so the dabs, and I'm learning about this, so this is super concentrated. Now, do both of those strains have dabs?
Yes, they do. And actually, there's so many hybrids out there now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are constantly genetically modifying this stuff, so it doesn't even resemble
this is
the
like,
natural cannabis
plant. What do you call those microbreweries? They're unique?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's thousands of strains now.
Right.
And so they're usually mixed together here and there. There's hybrids. It's all over the map. And most people are looking for a hybrid. Most people that get just a straight sativa feel like they're going out of their mind. Some people, that's what they're looking for. Look, High Times Magazine did a special on sativas.
Wait a minute. High Times Magazine?
Yes.
Tell our listeners. Yes. High Times Magazines. This is for the rich, playboys, right?
This is for the marijuana user.
Oh.
Yeah. And they've been, in print for decades, and it's all about celebrating marijuana. And last year they did a whole edition on sativas, and people were interviewed and said, look, I had a cocaine issue for years, and I was able to quit cocaine and move to these sativas, nicknamed sats. I can go over to sats because I can go all day or all week with just my sats. I don't need cocaine anymore. Well, some folks will go, hey, that's great. This person got off of cocaine. I'm sitting there looking at it going, hey, we have a replacement drug that's as potent, if not more potent.
Wow, that really good point. Really good point.
Dave, we probably need to roll things up here.
Wait a minute. That took me a second.
But anyway, what do we need to do here in Illinois to stop this?
Listen, folks in Illinois need to be in touch with their policymakers and let them know this is not what we're looking for. That's the greatest thing that they can do. I mean, we need to talk about it. We need to educate one another. Our faith-based community must have a voice in this issue. We need to stop avoiding it, stop politicizing it.
Let me ask you, before you keep going there, does Scripture have anything to say
about... Be ye sober-minded.
That's it.
Be not drunk.
Be not drunk. Do not be intoxicated. Mm-hmm. And yet, unfortunately, so many Christians and pastors consider this a political issue and not a cultural, biblical issue.
Right.
And we need to inform our folks because it's dangerous. And a lot of parents, grandparents, probably don't know that their kids are getting involved or could get involved
with
this.
Absolutely correct. And it's... It's heartbreaking. Drug use. It's heartbreaking. It's drug use. It's drug use that impacts families.
Yes.
It hurts children. It destroys lives. And how are we choosing to look the other way on this in
That's
God's
right.
house?
We can't. We need to love our neighbor. Mm-hmm. And that could even be our own family members, right?
Absolutely. So tell your policymakers, we do not want this.
And how about ask your pastors and your church leaders, please address this.
Absolutely.
Please address this in a biblical way so that folks know that this is not, God's special plant.
Right. The shepherd's responsibility is to care for the sheep. And those shepherds out there that have congregations, I feel it is their absolute responsibility to make sure that they are doing everything they can to warn against the wolf in sheep's clothing.
That's
and
right.
marijuana is it.
Tell folks where they can get more information.
You can go to joemcguire.org. That's joemcguire.org. And you can find links to my blog, articles, other resources are there. And contact me for more information. I'm happy to help.
And you go around the country speaking on this issue, trying to raise awareness. And I thank you for being a warrior, going out there, being countercultural, and standing in the gap for families. Not just Christian families, but families all over the place.
It's all about the truth.
That's right.
And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And truth is truth.
That's
and
right.
And that's why I'm in the gap.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Joe McGuire, the chairman of the board of the National Drug and Alcohol Screening Association, with us today here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Dave, we have an important conference coming up.
Yes, we have a great announcement with our annual fall banquet. This year, we're bringing in George Barna. Yes, you know that name, Barna Poles. He is famous for his group he founded called the Barna Research Group, and he has done a ton of research on the Christian community here in America and the effectiveness of the church. And he is going to be our speaker, our keynote speaker for our annual banquet. And our banquet is October 5th in 2018, this year. And we're going to be at our usual place in Hoffman Estate, the Stonegate Conference Center. And if you want more information, go to our website, illinoisfamily.org, and click the events tab.
You can get tickets right there. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.